Well, I certainly desire your prayers this morning. I thank the Lord for His blessings to us. I feel kind of unworthy to get up here when Brother James is sitting here. But I want to do what the Lord would have of us. I was thinking this morning a few thoughts that the Lord laid on our heart. It's nothing new. It's nothing different. But it's something that we all like, and that's peace. I seem like the Lord been talking to me a few things about peace. I'm a person that I don't like conflict. I don't like strife. I don't like to get involved in anything that creates conflict. And I love peace. I like to see the Lord be able to bless. But most of all, I like peace to my soul. You know, there is nothing more important in our lives than having peace with God. Being able to be in a place with the Lord to where that we can be at peace. Our soul is not wrought with sin and wickedness and all of the things that the world has that would cause disturbing thoughts and doubts and fears and condemnation. You know, I looked the word peace up, and it said freedom from disturbing thoughts or emotions, a state of calm and quiet. Freedom from disturbing thoughts and emotions. And I thought about, in our world today, how many thoughts, disturbing thoughts there are. Emotional problems, emotional distresses that we find in the world. People that are just, when you talk to them, they're just so emotionally wrecked that they just don't know what to do. Well, you know, I'm thankful that the peace of God can take care of that. I'm thankful that the blood of Christ that we spoke about earlier can come in and cleanse all those things away and give us peace to our souls. You know, it said there, freedom from disturbing thoughts or emotions. I thought about being free from guilt, from condemnation. You know, there's nothing that will bring a disturbing thought more than guilt. To have something upon your heart knowing that I'm guilty, I'm lost, I'm condemned, I'm without hope. When you get in life, just in normal things, when there's guilt, you know you've done something and you're afraid someone's going to find it out, then it's a disturbing feeling. As a child and growing up, when I would do something and Dad would come along, I'd think, oh, he's found out about it. He'd start to say something, and I'd think, oh, he already found out. Maybe he didn't know anything about it. You know, there's a scripture that said something in one place, the wicked flee when no man pursueth. And that's the way it is. When we go through life with guilt in our life, we're constantly in turmoil, not knowing what to do. But you know, when sin is in our life, it brings guilt. It brings condemnation. And we can't have peace with God with that in there. But the blood of Christ can come into our hearts and it can cleanse all those things away. I'm thinking of a scripture here in Isaiah, the 26th chapter, if you'll turn with me. Isaiah 26 and 3, and it said, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. I'm thankful that it's the Lord that will keep us in perfect peace. That we are not having to try to keep that peace ourselves. He said, Thou, that's the Lord, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. I thought, well, what does it mean to stay, keep our mind stayed upon the Lord? And the thought came to my mind, you know, used to, I'd read that scripture and I'd think, well, that means I have to constantly be thinking about the Lord. My mind has to be on the Lord all the time. I can never think about anything else to have that kind of peace. Well, that's not the case. He said, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. I looked the word stay up and it said to pause, to wait, to stand firm, to satisfy his hunger for a time, to provide physical or moral support for, to fix on something as a foundation, to continue in a place or condition. It brought a whole new line of thought to my mind. He said, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. To wait on the Lord. You know, sometimes we get in a hurry. We get to running here and there and we fail to pause and wait on the Lord. You know, the enemy would like to rob us of our peace. The devil is out for this very purpose, to rob our peace of our souls. To try, you know, there are things, there are people in life, they're called agitators. That's all they do, is they agitate. They like to stir up trouble. They like to stir up strife. There's some people that do it for fun. And then there's some people that's all they like, is to be able to see people suffer. To cause, to be backbiting, to do something, to be able to get in there, to stir up a little bit of strife, and then they back up. And it's like they just thrive on that. You get in a job situation and you get somebody there, that's all they want to do is pick and try to do something to stir up a problem, to keep it going, keep it boiling. Well, you know that's the way the enemy of our souls is. His purpose is to come and agitate, to stir up, to try to get within us, in our own hearts, something that will cause strife, discomfort, dissatisfaction. When you take a family, you know, the enemy will like to get in work in families, to be able to get down in between husband and wife, between the parents and the children, between brothers and sisters, to stir up agitation, to cause problems and trials, things that would come right in there that would stir us up and keep us from being able to have that peace. You know, the reason that he does that, because in a time of peace, it's when we grow. It's when we learn. It's when we are able to multiply and produce fruit. But as long as there's agitation and strife, then it brings about a division, a separation, and we can't be able to grow in the Lord. Well, I believe the Lord wants you and I to be able to have peace. He said, "That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." If we will allow the Lord, our minds to wait upon God, when these times come, there's a scripture there in Micah. We'll turn over there. You know, you think of your families as something that's it's a haven. It's a place of where you can go and you can just kind of let down your hair, so to speak. And you can just be at one with one another. But here in Micah, the 7th chapter, it's speaking here and it says, I'll start at 7 and 5. "Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, and the daughter riseth up against her mother. The daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, a man's enemies are they of his own house. Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." When I read that, I thought, well, that don't sound like a family. The Lord intended for us to be able to have families where we could dwell together in unity and have peace and be a place where we can draw from each other. But this here says, when you read that he said, a man's enemies are they of his own house. And I thought, well, Lord, what does that mean? That don't sound like peace. That don't sound like a place that we want to go and be in. But I thought about how that, and this was the thought that I got from this, that it's dangerous for us to put our confidence in man, to put our trust in man. If when we are as a family or as a congregation or as a people, when we place our confidence in an individual, you know they're human. And there are things that they will do that will let us down from time to time. But if we have placed our confidence in our everything in them, that whatever they say goes, and they fall, we're going to fall with them. It's dangerous. It's you know why it's that way? Because the enemy knows that right there, the place that is the closest to us is where we can be hurt the deepest. And that's why he likes to get down in families, between husband and wives, between the mother and the father and the children, between brothers and sisters. Because if you go out, someone can say something to you and you never think anything about it. Well, that's just slow. But when you bring it to home, then it has a lot more. It has a lot more effect. And so the enemy is working in that. But here he said, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." When we as families, as people of God, when we place our confidence and our trust in the Lord, then when these things come around about us and the enemy begins to work and tries to stir up something, just remember, that's the agitator. That's the enemy coming to work and try to trouble us. But we'll wait upon the Lord, because my trust is in the Lord. My trust is in the one that will deliver me from all these things. I'll not be moved by all these. I know. I love that person. That's my brother. That's my sister. That's the one that I love. That's my companion. I know that it's the enemy that's working in there. And so instead of looking at those things, Lord, I'm going to wait upon You. The Lord will work these things out. There's another scripture there in Psalms. You know, the Lord wants us to be able to have peace. Psalms, the 37th chapter, 7th verse. There are things also that will disturb our peace that maybe are not even with our family. The enemy will use things to be able to come in to get us so wrought up that we'll lose our peace over something that doesn't even affect us. Have you ever seen children? They'll be going along and all of a sudden they'll see maybe brother or sister doing something. It didn't affect them. Well, Mom, Dad, did you see what they did? They were doing something to someone else. And they just really get upset. Look what they're doing. Something's wrong here. And they just get all bothered. Well, we'll take care of that. It's no concern of yours. Have you ever seen that happen? If you had children, I know you have. Well, in Psalms, the 37th chapter here, in the first verse, it says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Then it goes on down here in the 7th verse, and it said, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." You know, there are things that the enemy will bring along that will cause us to get our minds, our eyes over on this, that people will get all wrought up and disturbed. I've seen people, done it myself, I'll just have to confess to you. There have been times that I'll be going along and the enemy will bring something along and thought, well, something happened over here at work. And something, maybe somebody said, well, this is going to happen. We're going to do this a certain way. And if you're not careful, all of a sudden there's something starts working up in it. The more you think and dwell upon that, then it just starts building up. Well, they can't do that. Well, what? And before you know it, all of a sudden, the Lord checked me on that. I was there and I was getting ready for work one morning and seemed like the enemy just started bringing these thoughts about what was happening there. And that can't happen. And I started getting all disturbed about it. And before you knew it, I thought, well, Lord, help me. I'm getting upset. There's nobody said a word about it. And here I was, all worked up. The Scripture says here, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." If we want to be kept in perfect peace, we're going to have to wait upon the Lord. These things that are happening all around about us, that are happening, strife and enemy. He said here, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in the way." Whether it's because of wickedness abounding, because of things that are happening over here, or because we see someone prospering that are not serving the Lord. We don't need to look on those things and begin to fret and worry. Well, Lord, I don't have that. I'm not getting that. I'm not getting this blessing, or I'm not doing. Lord, what? You know, we can lose our peace because of that. Because the enemy coming in, you don't have that. I don't think Matt will mind me saying this. As we were coming into service this morning, we passed a house, and they had all kinds of stuff out there. And he said, "Boy, they got everything. They had a new boat, and they've got some race cars, and they've got all these things. They got a go-kart and all these things. They got everything." And I thought, you know, that's just the way it is with the enemy. He'll come in and he'll cause us to look over here and see what somebody's got or what somebody's doing. Well, they got it all. Well, Lord, how come I can't have some of that? Well, Lord, what about this? And before you know it, our eyes are looking at that rather than, he said here, "Rest in the Lord and wait. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him." When we can just take, "Lord, I'm content." What did the Apostle Paul say there? He said, "I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." If we're not careful, when things come our way, whether it's trials, whether it's needs, we can begin to fret. We can begin to complain and murmur and lose the peace of God out of our soul because the Lord hasn't given me this. But he said, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospereth. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Another scripture here in Proverbs, the 20th chapter. Proverbs, the 20th chapter in the 22nd verse. He said there, "Say not that I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee." Wait on the Lord. Say not that I will recompense evil. You know, when things come our way that are hard to take, it's easy for the flesh to say, "Well, I'm going to do this. I'm just going to take care of this. I'm going to go over here and I'm just going to do this." He said here in the Scripture, He said, "Say not that I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee." You know, when we get within our own hands and we do our own work, we spoke about that in Sunday school this morning, about rest and about ceasing from our own works. What the Lord would have you and I to do is, when those times come, is just to wait upon the Lord. To just be able to allow those things to go on and wait for the Lord to be able to take care of that. There's a Scripture there in 2 Corinthians. It speaks about us in our works. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. He says in 2 Corinthians 10 and 4, it says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." He said, "Say not that I will recompense evil." He said in this Scripture here, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." You know, carnal weapons will never bring about true peace. When they have wars and battles and strife, they come to a place where they declare peace, but it's not true peace. What they have done is they've fought until they've decided they're not going to fight anymore. But remember what it said about peace: freedom from disturbing thoughts and emotions. After a war, you go and you talk to the people and they're wrecked. Their minds, all of the carnage and the things that have happened, it's just destroyed them. Their minds are destroyed. But here it said, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." You know, I was thinking about that and I thought, for us to be able to have true peace, we are going to have to be able, as it said, casting down imaginations. Those things that the enemy would bring to our minds, we're going to have to cast those down. Those things that the enemy would bring, "Well, what about what so-and-so said? Or what about this? Or what about that?" Trying to bring something into our mind, we're going to have to cast them out. We're going to have to be able to ask the Lord, "Lord, I'm going to wait upon You. I don't know about those things. Maybe they did wrong me. Maybe they did. But I'm going to wait upon the Lord." Casting down imaginations. I thought about something that I believe it was Brother Richard used to tell us about the man that had, and I may not have this right, but about the man that went and I think his car overheated and he was going to get some water from a farmhouse. And as he went along, he took his jug and these thoughts kept coming to his mind about, "Well, they probably won't give it to you. They probably won't let you have any water." And I don't remember exactly how it went, but by the time he got to the house and they opened, he knocked on the door and they opened the door and he said, "I don't want your water anyway." Well, can you see how the enemy worked? Has that ever happened? When you start doing something and all of a sudden the enemy start bringing these thoughts and imagination. "Well, you know, if I do this, you know, they're going to say this." And you get up there to the point to where you're so fearful you don't even know what to do. "Well, I can't help it if that's the way you do feel." And just get all worked up and out of sorts. Can you see how the enemy does? He said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee." If we can just wait upon the Lord, "Lord, You work this out in Your own way. Lord, I'm just going to trust You to do this." He said, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ." You know, we're going to have to tear down some strongholds in our lives. If we want to have peace with God, we're going to have to tear down some of those strongholds. Some of the things that the enemy has brought in, it's allowed those imaginations to build up till he's got a stronghold, a place in there that, "Well, you know, I remember this. I remember what they did back there. And I remember this. And well, this is the way it is." And now the enemy's working through it. A stronghold. A place that every time that we come and try to get victory from it, from the Lord, then the enemy's got a stronghold built. And he brings those things back. He works through those things. He said, "Bringing every thought into obedience." Bringing every thought to obedience of Christ. You know, we're going to have to take and capture our thoughts. That was one of the things that I had a hard time with when I started serving the Lord, was the enemy would bring thoughts of things that I'd done, things that I'd said, or things that had happened, and it kept troubling me. And the enemy would come back and say, "Well, now look at what you've been thinking about. Look at this." And it would trouble me. Accusations. You know, it said freedom from disturbing thoughts and emotions. You know, the devil would like nothing more than to get us under a spirit of accusation to where constantly he's bringing back some of those things, accusing us of it, bringing them back. We're going to have to capture some thoughts. We are not responsible for what the enemy brings. What we are responsible for is what we do with it when he brings it. We can take, when the enemy brings thoughts of things that we've done, we can say, "Thank the Lord. Lord, you've delivered me from that," and we can resist it and go on. But if we entertain those things and go on and on and on, then the enemy is going to build imaginations and strongholds in our minds to where that when we try to get down in prayer, they're there constantly. The Lord wants us to capture those things. You know, we're going to have to capture some things when the enemy brings a thought about someone else. A thought about something, "Well, what about so-and-so? Did you notice? Are we responsible for that?" The enemy is there. He's going to come in and he's going to do those things. But what we're responsible for is when he brings it, is to capture this thing. "Lord, now I don't know about that, but I know that you love that soul." And start praying for them, and we'll capture those thoughts. We'll cast down some imaginations that the enemy's brought, and then we can have peace in our soul. But as long as we entertain those things, as long as we allow our minds to feed upon them, we're gonna suffer. We're going to cause those things are going to build strongholds that is going to defeat us in our lives. Here he said, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that comes in that the enemy would work in that would be against what we know is truth, that is against what the Lord would have us to have, we need to cast them down. Then we can have true peace in our souls. You know, there's another scripture there in Isaiah. Turn over there and get that scripture. Isaiah, the 40th chapter. We need to wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 40 and 31. "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." When we learn to wait upon God, then we can have peace to our soul. When we learn to just, "Not my works, but Lord, I'm just going to rest in what you've done. I'm going to rest in your will." Then the Lord will renew our strength. It said here, freedom from disturbing thoughts or emotions, to stay, to wait, to stand firm. I was thinking about standing firm. To stay, keep our minds stayed upon the Lord, we're going to have to learn to stand firm. We're going to have to be able to stand our ground, that when the enemy brings these things in, that we can resist him. We can hold up the shield of faith and say, "No, I'm not going to give in to those things." But you know, we're going to have to do something. We're going to have some faith to be able to stand firm. I think of a scripture here in Joshua where the priests stood firm. Joshua, the 3rd chapter, starting in the 15th verse. And it said, "And as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all of his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up upon a heap very far from the city Adam." And it goes on and tells about that. And it said, "And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." I thought about this. It said there that to keep our minds stayed upon the Lord, we're going to have to stand firm. To be able to stand firm, the priest had to take... He said the Jordan was flowing outside of her banks all the time of harvest. And here they came up, and they came to Jordan, and Joshua told him, he said, "You go and step in, and the Lord will part the waters." Now, think about that. Here it was, the servant of the Lord came and told them, "You go up here to this river that's just overflowing its banks, and you step in it, and the Lord's going to separate it." Now, that took some faith, didn't it? They had to reach. It said here that
And they that bear the ark, when they come to Jordan, and when the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped into the brim of the water, when their feet stepped in, then the Lord parted the waters. For us to be able to stand firm, we're going to have the faith that they did there. We're going to have to listen to what the Lord says, and we're going to have to step out by faith. Lord, I believe Your Word, and now, Lord, I want to be able to have this perfect peace, and I'm going to stand firm, but I'm going to step out on faith. You know, the enemy will come in and he'll say, oh, but wait, look over here. I know the Lord has given me perfect peace. I know the Lord promised in His Word that He would keep me in perfect peace. If I just keep my mind stayed upon Him, now, Lord, I'm going to do that, and I'm going to step out. And when we do that, the Lord will part the waters. Those things that are troubling, those things that are coming in like a flood, the Lord will just part them. And we'll be able to stand upon solid ground. We'll be able to stand upon the Word of God, and that will be able to hold us. It said to stand firm, to satisfy. You know, the Lord wants us to have peace and to be satisfied. He wants our souls to be satisfied. But there's a secret to being satisfied. There's a secret to that, and that is in being able to do for others. As we are taking and go through life, if all we do is looking for our own things, then we're not going to be satisfied. We're not going to have that peace. He said there to satisfy as hunger for a time. In Isaiah here, the 58th chapter, there's a scripture I'd like to get. It's the fourth verse. Here is speaking, I won't read all of this, but he's speaking here and he's telling them, he said in the sixth or fourth verse, it says, behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smite with the fist of wickedness. He said, is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? And then it goes down in the sixth verse and it said, is not this the fast that I have chosen, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that you break every yoke? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh? Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. And then it goes right on down here and it says in the 10th verse, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. Here we find, he said there, to stay is to wait, to stand firm and to satisfy. If we want to have perfect peace with the Lord, we're going to have to learn to be satisfied. And the only way that we can do that, he said here, is if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, to satisfy the afflicted soul. As we learn to focus our attention not on what's happening to us, not on the things that the enemy would bring, the thoughts that this is what you're going through, but instead focusing our attention on what we can do for others. He said there, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry? Up there to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo heavy burdens? That's what will satisfy the soul. As we go out and work for the Lord and endeavor to be of a help to those around about us, breaking the bands, breaking those heavy loads and that bondage that the enemy has on them. As we do that, the Lord will feed our soul. He said there, He shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden. To satisfy. And then he said here, to fix on something as a foundation. You know, I believe the Lord wants us to fix our hearts and our minds on something solid. What did the Scripture say in one place? He said there is no other foundation than is laid in Christ Jesus. You know, that's a foundation that we can be assured of. Something that is steadfast and unmovable. Something that when we turn to the Lord and we look to the Lord will always be there, consistent, steadfast, unmovable. He can help us to be able to have an experience with the Lord that the enemy, when he comes in and brings these thoughts, that we can say, no, I'm going to stand steadfast because I'm rooted in a foundation that is solid. You know, Christ was one that he left as an example to follow. One that had steadfastness. What was the Scripture that said in one place, speaking of God? He said, in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. That's pretty solid, isn't it? You know, there's nothing more in life that is disturbing when you go by a house then once you move into it, then to find that the foundation is not solid. That in the storms of life, storms that come our way, that the foundation begins to move. The walls begin to crack and the ceilings begin to start shifting and things like that. It's pretty disturbing, isn't it? But when we get a house that is on a solid foundation, in the midst of the storm, the Lord, in spiritual foundation, the Lord will speak peace to our souls. The Lord will be able to come in and encourage us, and this is the way, walk ye in it. This is something solid. The Lord wants us to be in. There's another scripture I was trying to think of. Can't get it right now. About the foundation of the Lord. I was thinking about the disciples. No, that's not it. That was about another scripture there where the disciples, when we get a foundation in the Lord, it's something that's solid. It's something that will satisfy the soul. And I was thinking about the disciples there when they were on the sea. No, it was before that. They were there in the wilderness, and the Lord told them, He said, give these people bread. They were all hungry. And as they were there, the disciples said, well, how can we satisfy their hunger in the wilderness? How can we do this? And the Lord said, what have you got? And they had the five loaves. And the Lord took that little and He blessed it, and He broke it, and He fed all the multitude. And I thought about, you know, when we get a foundation that is solid in the Lord, and the Lord gives us a little bit, if we'll take that little bit and use it for the Lord, to bless souls, to set those at liberty, to do everything we can to be a blessing to those around us, then the Lord will bless that and multiply it. And we can say, well, Lord, what can I do? Look at these people. What can I do for them? The Lord will take that little that we've got and He'll bless it. And He'll break it. And He'll cause it to be able to be fed to all the people. And we can be a blessing to all those around about us. I was thinking about having peace. He said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. It said to fix on something as a foundation, to continue in a place or condition. You know, there's a scripture that says, be not weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. If we continue to work for the Lord, we continue to hold steadfast on the ground that the Lord has given us, then we can be able to be a blessing to those around about us. And if we wait upon the Lord, He'll bless our souls. He'll give us strength and courage. He'll give us a determination that, Lord, I'm going to go all the way with you. We'll not have to worry about being cast down. Not have to worry about the enemy bringing all of these doubts, all of these accusations, all of these insecurities, all of these bitterness, all of the things that the enemy would bring that would rob our peace. As we stay steadfast in the Lord and wait upon Him, keep our minds stayed upon Him, the Lord will be faithful to obey His word. He said, thou. That wasn't speaking of us. That was speaking of the Lord. He said, thou will keep them in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. I find that scripture as a promise with a condition. The Lord will meet the promise if we'll meet the condition. If we will obey the word of the Lord and keep our minds stayed upon the Lord, when the enemy comes in and tries to bring thoughts and things to rob us away, to rob our peace, if we'll just stop and say, Lord, no, I'm going to step out by faith because I know that, Lord, that you've got something better for me. If we will do that, the Lord will be faithful to His promise to keep us in perfect peace because our trust is in Him. Have you ever known anyone that trusted the Lord faithfully and He let them down? It hasn't, has it? He said, thou will keep them because they trust in thee, if they keep their minds stayed upon Him. This is my desire this morning, that we as the people of God can have perfect peace. Peace that passeth understanding. What does the Scripture say in one place? Peace that the world cannot give. Peace that will come in, that will cause us to be able to grow in the Lord. You know, there's nothing more that can hinder spiritual growth than strife, discontentment, battles and trials and wars, things that working in our hearts, it'll keep us from growing in the Lord. It'll keep us hindered from being able to get to the place of the Lord that He'd have us to be. My desire for us this morning, for me personally, Lord, help me. Keep me in that perfect peace. Fill me, Lord, with the peace of God, that I might be able to keep my heart and mind stayed upon Thee. This is my desire this morning.